What does it mean to be Danish of Palestinian background and spiritual? In this episode, Amalie shares her stories of growing up in Aalborg, a city in Jutland, and her journey in making sense of the world she lives in. Her story is about the importance of self-acceptance and introspection in navigating our lives. I'm Fumi, this is #OurRacism, and this is the story of Amalie.
I grew up in Aalborg. It's a nice town. It was, I feel like, a small town where people know each other. Like, everybody knows everybody. So if something happened at a school, the other schools would know. And otherwise, it was pretty, like, it was calm. And people did the same thing. Like, Friday night, everybody would be on the same party street. But otherwise, it was nice, like, kind of, town to grow up in, like nice and quiet, Jutland vibe. And Aalborg was pretty much a place where I felt that people were very similar, like dressed the same way, talk about the same way. And this was when I was young, so there wasn't a lot of international people and different kind of ideas or cultures mixed together. And for me, I grew up feeling very different, first of all, because I was like one of the three brown girls in my class, and I think also in my school. And I was spiritual, and there was no one who was spiritual. So I always felt like I was very different, and I didn't know what it was. But I think it led me to a place where I couldn't really mirror myself with other people. So I feel that a lot of my time, I grew up having a lot of anxiety and just feeling like I didn't fit in, and I was very the quiet girl. So it was the way I grew up, and I feel that it was very isolating for me, but it was more like a mental state. So it's how I felt when I went to like school, and also most of my high school. I like to like, it's not because I can't be social, it's just because I prefer to be alone and just be the observer of what's going on, because sometimes I feel like I didn't understand this well, just like an alien was trapped in this young woman body and was like, what is going on here?
Amalie reflects upon the question of where and how one may fit in, quote unquote.
My background is Palestinian, but I was born and raised in Denmark. And the first 10 years of my life, it was very Arabic, traditional way I was raised. And after I was 10 years old, it was more like modern, not so much religion in the home. And I think that's also a part that made me feel different, because when I was in this isolated box and not feeling weird, I also felt, maybe because I'm brown and other people are not brown, maybe that's the problem also. So I think that was a part of my identity, of feeling like it's because I'm different, that's why. It's because I look different. So it was very on the superficial level on that time. And yeah, I remember going to, it's like 1 year of, it's called like 10th grade, because I didn't know what to do after high school. No, not high school, before normal school. And then I remember I went to a school where there were so many Arab people. And it was very like, whoa, I'm not used to that. And they start coming, like people talking Arab to me and stuff like that. And I just remember being like, yeah, I'm not really used to that. So it was just the experience of, and I only had like one good friend, and she was like Danish and no like ethnicity background. And I remember that the Arab people in that school, they were like, Emelie, you're not that Arab. Like, you are so weird and you're not acting Arab. And it was like an acceptance of, I'm not being accepted to the Arab people, and I'm not feeling like normal with the Danish people. So it was just like a box I couldn't place myself. And I remember going to a bus, on the way to the bus. And I remember all like, the Arab people sitting back in the bus, not because I'm saying Arab is this, Arab, that was just like in that time of my life. And they were like speaking negatively about me because it was just like a bully. I'm being bullied some kind of way. And I just felt like I'm not really fitting in any boxes.
Amelie shares some stories of racism she experienced growing up in Albo.
I remember that there's always some like racism coming from the teacher. I remember I had one specific teacher. And it was just like people were laughing, like it was a joke, but it was just like weird for me because it was like an adult. And when you're like 10 teenager years old, and that was like, okay, they're coming a lot of like weird racism comments, like black Negro on the street or stuff like that. And I was just like laughing with it, but I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, why are you talking like this? But I think it's also a way of when you're in an environment that people are just laughing of it, and it's normal just to laugh of it because there's not a lot of dark people. So I think that was like a certain way of, not feeling like, not feeling seen, I think, because if you can talk and the students can talk like that and nobody says anything, then I just feel like there was a normal thing just to joke of other ethnicities. So it was kind of interesting, but I think there's also like you just get used to it somehow, and I just think it was a little normalized. So I just think when the environment is like that, then you also just like adjust that environment because you don't know any different. And it was not a time where Facebook and Instagram was huge, so there wasn't like any other opinions. So I just think that it was very like normal based. I just remember actually another one, and this one hurt me. It was, I remember when I wanted to move to Copenhagen, there was one of my friends who bought a sofa, and her dad wanted to come and get it. And I remember this girl, she was always saying like, oh, because of them, there was always some comments. And then her dad, when she said goodbye, he said, oh, where are you moving? Why are you selling? Because I'm moving to Copenhagen. And then I said, yeah, I think that your kind of people also fit better over there. And that really stuck with me. I think I was like 18. And it was very like, whoa, you're like my friend's dad and you're like an adult. And it was very like, okay, yeah, interesting. I'm glad I'm leaving Albo. So it was another example of just like feeling different or just like getting something. But I didn't thought of that. I wasn't very like conscious at that time. So I remember that actually hurt me. Yeah.
For a while, Amelie says she couldn't fully make sense of her experiences. But two different events in her life would change the way she viewed the world and ultimately how she would engage with the world. The first is a video her mother shared with her during her teenage years.
I got a video from my mother. It was about the law of attraction with Rhonda Burns. And it was about that everything you think becomes the way that you feel, becomes the way that you act. So if I'm feeling very like anxious, insecure, negative, that I was at that time, I will create environments and people around me who has the same. But if I'm very positive and happy and joyful, I will also attract these people. So I remember I saw a 20-minute video and I had a tear in my eye and I was like, whoa, it's me that's the problem. I'm not the victim of the world. I have created this. And I remember when I saw this 20-minute video, I had tear in my eye. I just felt like everything is possible. Like I'm just gonna create something so big when I get older, and I'm just gonna be in totally creation phase. So I think that video changed me, and I started to research like every order of that video. about mindset. What does successful people think? What do they do? And I just saw like it was very similar. Everybody used this. And at that time, it was not modest or noticed at all to know about energy, the law of attraction, what you think, you feel, you create, manifestation. So I remember when I talk with people about this, they would just look at me like, you're fucking weird. Like, and my family was also like, not my mom, but the rest of them, they're like, so weird, you're such a hippie.
The second experience was removed to Copenhagen and everything that followed.
When I was in Aalborg, I always knew that, okay, I'm going to move to Copenhagen someday because there's more opportunities, there's more like different kinds of people. I remember the first time I was there, I just fell in love that there was room for everybody. You don't have to be in a certain way. So I remember when I finished high school, I had to wait like a week. Then I told myself like, okay, I'm going to move. But when I had like the last day, I was like, why do I have to wait? So 2 days after, I just packed my stuff and went to Copenhagen. And this is where I studied marketing economy. And after that, I went into an incubator with my clothing company. And I think that I always like chased success. I always chased like this idea of society saying like, oh, you're happy when you're this entrepreneur or you have this amount of money and stuff like that. So I just bought to that belief system and was like, okay, I think that's the normal thing to do. So I'm just going to start my own company. And yeah, I did that. And I think I reached my goals financially. But I remember I felt so empty. And I was like, no, there's something missing. That's not it. Why do I feel this empty inside? And I played the game of society. I succeeded the game of society, but I didn't. There was still something missing. And then I had an awakening where I pretty much experienced just like my consciousness totally expand. And from the one day to another, I could really feel other people's energy. I could like feel this illusion of this society. And I was like, this is crazy. And it was so overwhelming that I pretty much stayed in my home for a month because it was too much for me. Like I just went to a supermarket. I would get overwhelmed because I could just feel and see all kinds of things that maybe other people couldn't see and feel. And then I got an opportunity to go to Costa Rica to help other people on the streets. And there was also out of the blue experience where I said yes. And then I went there for 8 months, came back and started my coaching company. So I think it's a journey of self-acceptance and going from a place from being very rushy and having this belief system of what society say is true, living true. And then finding my own truth and standing by that and creating that. So I think it's been like a crazy journey the last 5-6 years. And I think this is also the journey of Copenhagen helped me with rediscover that, okay, you can be spiritual and you can act like you don't fit in anywhere. And there was a lot of people feeling the same way.
Since finding her true self, Amelie says she is confident in her different identities.
Like for me, I just say that I'm Danish, I'm spiritual, but also on a bigger level, connection, I always say they know that, you know, I'm a soul in a body and I'm having this experience. So it's not only about my physical appearance, but it's more like levels of seeing other people, that you can see them from their colors, their titles, their clothes, but also seeing them like, oh, there's something deeper and we're actually like the same. We came from the same thing. So I think from now, I just say like, I'm Danish, I'm spiritual. And sometimes I don't say I'm spiritual. I just say that, you know, I'm all religion because I studied a lot with different religion and I find the similarities in all of them. So I think there's also the red thread that I discovered because I don't think that I could put myself in a box of I am this, but I am everything.
Amelie shares an encounter she had in Copenhagen and how, with a new perspective of her life and the world she lives in, dealt with it.
I remember one specific, it was actually not that long ago. I was at the bus and then I had a pizza and I was on the way home and there was just like a Brøndby football game. And it's very noticed for Brøndby to be like the shouting people who are very like and aggressive. And the bus was filled with the people who had just came from the football game. And I remember I had like chili or something on my pizza and you can smell it. And then there was like a guy who was like, oh, you smell like chili. And then, you know, people start laughing. Ha 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 ha. And I was just like, all right, that's a very low conscious level of, you know, saying things and thinking. So I think it was a little humoristic, like, wow, okay. I just think like people are different. And if you have a need to get approval from other people by saying that because you maybe have low confidence, you know, that's what I see. And I was like, okay, like, just think. But I remember he looked at me, like directly look at me. And I know that when other people, it doesn't matter if they bully you or the situation, if they look at you, they're in the response. That's the gain, you know, the dopamine, like, fuck, I just got you, I stepped on you. And I just remember that when he said that, I just I was looking at the window, but I didn't turn around because I didn't want to approval his comments because I don't want him to gain my energy, gain my, and I just had a moment where I said, I want to say something sarcastic. I was like, no, because I don't want to go into this energy battle of, I want to give something back to you that is sarcastic. So, and it's different from situation to situation, but it was just like, it was kind of racist moment. I was like, okay, interesting. Doesn't bother me, but I see it.
Amelie reflects upon what racism is to her.
I think racism for me is having a story, a perspective out of the physical looks of another being. Out of color, out of eye shape or hair shape, whatever it is. So it's about the story that is created through our programming of our subconscious mind that the society, movies, has made us believe that in every movie it's like the poor people are the black people and the rich people are the, you know, it's always the same story and the Arab people are the terrorists or whatever it is. So it's pretty much a program that it is important to take a step back and just like wake up and see the reality through your own eyes, own perspectives. Because I think if you believe in that, you will look at that with those eyes. So every time you see an Asian or Arab, whatever it is, that's the eyes you're looking at. And then you will have some limiting beliefs about, oh, I don't want to ask about this, or I don't want to approach them because of that, because of the story. So I think racism is changing those lenses and the stories that you program with, because it is hate, it is discriminations, but people are each other's mirror. And if there's something that's you feel you get triggered by other people, you can look back at yourself and be like, what is it about this person that I can't handle? Because I can't handle a part of myself.
Amelie also highlights the importance of acknowledging and accepting oneself and others when engaging with issues related to racism.
The more I can just self-accept who I am, and that's also like, it doesn't affect me that much, but it does exist. And I think it's also understanding the behavior of other people, like why other people hate or make other people different. And it is in our nature. Like if something is different, you know, we see it in children's eyes. Like if somebody has glasses or not has the same weight or anything, or the color, they're different. And then there's like something in just the human nature of making other people want to feel bad so they can feel like good about themselves. But I think, I think for me it was just like, okay, like in the beginning, I'm not good enough. I'm different because of my skin color and the way people are in the surroundings about me. But then I just was like, okay, it's also a way to free yourself is the understanding of hates and behavior and culture, so it doesn't become personal. Because the more we can have this awareness about the things that's going on, the more we can just be observers and not take it in. I think there's a discovery of consciousness, and there's a discovery that we are physical beings, that everything is just this reality. And I think it's also about being curious about energy. Like, in the end of the day, like if we look at quantum physics, a proton, a neutron is like going around energy, and everything is made of this, like H2O, our bodies, the water. And it's also rediscover the reality that we're in, and questioning like how powerful our minds are, that we can change our reality to our minds. And being open-minded, I think, and this can also be hard because it can switch the reality of, whoa, there is more, and it can be very painful because it destroys the illusion of our current reality. But also just to, be curious about others and the world, and I think that's make us like more human because we expand our point of view, and the more we can expand our point of view, the more we also can accept what is.
Against the background of her experiences, Emily has the following to say on what she thinks it takes to be anti-racist.
I think that it's going back to the self, just like asking questions. Again, why was this the problem about this person? So I think to become anti-racist, you just pretty much have to rediscover yourself, because we're projecting stuff. Like if I have hate for other people or races, it's because I have something in myself that I hate or can't handle, as I mentioned. So I think it's about awareness, as we do now with Black Lives Matters and Pride, that accepting each other. And I think that we live in an amazing, amazing time period because we are very like acceptance of people being different, men having makeup on and just seeing that as cool. So I think that we're starting to mix up with, it's okay to be different. It's okay to look different and feel different. And some people are like, I don't have any gender, and that's also cool. So yeah, I think we're at the right time, and social media has definitely helped that, where we all can have a voice.
You can find more information about race-related issues in Denmark, as well as other articles, books, and videos Amalie recommends people to take a look at on racism on our website, www.ourcontext.org. You can also find the transcript of this episode on our website in English, French, German, and Italian. If you have a personal story to share, reach out to us on our website, Instagram, or Twitter. You can find us by typing in #our_racism. This is Fumi and #ourracism. See you next month, April 3rd. This episode was produced and edited by me, Fumi. Music by Pete Morse, Crescent Music, and Fugu Vibes. This podcast is powered by the Competence Center for Diversity and Inclusion at the University of St. Gallen. A big thank you to Amalie for her invaluable time and energy in going down memory lane for us and sharing with us her stories and insightful reflections on this issue.